Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A warm welcome to all of you that have joined us here and those that are on the listen line. Let's begin our service this evening by singing hymn number 345. I'll read the third verse. So all soul shall see where thine effulgence gloweth through pure lives of men, a countless host. So all shall learn how God himself bestoweth his priceless pearl of gifts, the Holy Ghost. Hymn number 345. I'll read from the Bible. Romans. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up to his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Matthew. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Then he was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Mark. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Acts. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that, through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." 1 Corinthians. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Holy Ghost, Divine Science, the Development of Eternal Life, Truth, and Love. Life, truth, and love constitute the triune person called God, that is, the triply divine principle love. They represent a trinity in unity, three in one, the same in essence, though multiform in office. God the Father, Mother, Christ, the spiritual idea of sonship, Divine Science, or the Holy Comforter. These three express the divine science, the threefold essential nature of the infinite. They also indicate the divine principle of scientific being, the intelligent relation of God to man and the universe. Jesus was born of Mary. Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to men, speaking to the human consciousness. The Christ is incorporeal, spiritual, yea, the divine image and likeness, dispelling the illusions of the senses. The way, the truth, and the life, healing the sick and casting out evils, destroying sin, disease, and death. As Paul says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The corporeal man Jesus was human. Jesus demonstrated Christ He proved that Christ is the divine idea of God. The Holy Ghost, or Comforter, revealing the divine principle, love, and leading into all truth. The Virgin Mother conceived this idea of God and gave to her ideal the name of Jesus, that is, Joshua, or Savior. The illumination of Mary's spiritual sense put to silence material law and its order of generation, and brought forth her child by the revelation of truth, demonstrating God as the Father of men. The Holy Ghost, or Divine Spirit, overshadowed the pure sense of the Virgin Mother with a full recognition that being is spirit. The Christ dwelt forever, an idea in the bosom of God, the divine principle of the man, Jesus. And woman perceived this spiritual idea, though at first faintly developed. Man, as the offspring of God, as the idea of spirit, is the immortal evidence that spirit is harmonious and man eternal. Jesus was the offspring of Mary's self-conscious communion with God. Hence, he could give a more spiritual idea of life than other men, and could demonstrate the science of love, his Father or divine principle. John the Baptist prophesied the coming of the Immaculate Jesus. And John saw in those days the spiritual idea as the Messiah, which would baptize with the Holy Ghost, divine science. John saw the human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus as divinity embracing humanity in life and its demonstration, reducing to human perception and understanding the life which is God. In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea is understood. When understood, it is truth's prism and praise. When you look it fairly in the face, you can heal by its means, and it has for you a light above the sun, for God is the light thereof. Its feet are pillars of fire, foundations of truth and love. It brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whose flames of truth were prophetically described by John the Baptist as consuming error. The magnitude of Jesus' work, his material disappearance before their eyes, and his reappearance, all enabled the disciples to understand what Jesus had said. Heretofore, they had only believed. Now they understood. The advent of this understanding is what is meant by the descent of the Holy Ghost, that influx of divine science which so illuminated the Pentecostal day and is now repeating its ancient history. Jesus' unchanged physical condition after what seemed to be death was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions. And this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. Jesus was the way. That is, he marked the way for all men in his final demonstration called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus. He rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. His students then received the Holy Ghost. By this is meant that by all they had witnessed and suffered, they were roused to an enlarged understanding of divine science, even to the spiritual interpretation and discernment of Jesus's teachings and demonstrations, which gave them a faint conception of the life which is God. They no longer measured man by material sense. After gaining the true idea of their glorified master, they became better healers, leaning no longer on matter, but on the divine principle of their work. Why are the words of Jesus more frequently cited for our instruction than are his remarkable works? Is it not because there are few who have gained a true knowledge of the great import to Christianity of those works? Sometimes it is said, rest assured that whatever effect Christian scientists may have on the sick comes through rousing within the sick a belief that in the removal of disease, these healers have wonderful power derived from the Holy Ghost. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love. Underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. We acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God. We acknowledge his Son, one Christ, the Holy Ghost or Divine Comforter, and man in God's image and likeness. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then repeat aloud the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. It's 386. I'll read the first and the second verse. When Jesus, our great master, came to teach us in his Father's name, in every act, in every thought, he lived the precepts which he taught. So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. So let our works and virtues shine to prove the doctrine all divine. Hymn number 386. Welcome again to this rainy evening, April showers spring May flowers. Our church is one of the many worldwide branches of the Mother Church, the first Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Child care is provided for those too young for Sunday school. If you would like to listen to audio replays of our most recent Wednesday evening testimony meetings, go to our church website, carmelcs.org, and click on the media tab at the top of the page. Then choose Wednesday service archive. from the drop-down menu where you will find a list of the recent replays available. This is now your time to share any remarks or testimonies or experiences that you would like for us to grow by and to be inspired by. Give Virginia a wave and she will give you the microphone.
Oh my, thank you so much for that lesson. Holy Ghost is always, the Father, the Son, I have those down pat. The Holy Ghost was always something that I couldn't really explain. I'm not sure I perfectly can now, but after that lesson, it's so much clearer to me what it involves, more of a feeling. And I need to think about that a little bit longer, but that was so inspirational for me because that's something I've always thought about, the Holy Ghost and what does that really mean. I had written several years ago a testimony that I need to turn in for an association assignment. And I'd forgotten about it until I was looking through some documents trying to find something. And I thought, oh, good, I don't have to try to remember, it's written down. So I will read part of that. A few years ago, we found ourselves having to have several costly home repairs and improvements done. Due to a hairline crack in our basement, we discovered the best way to keep the crack from widening and water from leaking into the basement would be to install a concrete patio in back of the house. While we were waiting for that project to begin, we had two incidents with pipes coming from the sump pump to the yard that needed to be replaced, as well as having to install a new sump pump along with the backup. The landscaper agreed to take care of running the new pipes out to the side yard before installing the new patio. After all was said and done, the total amount ended up well beyond what we anticipated the cost would be. And because of a few other circumstances, found our savings account to be alarmingly low. Around this time, a source of income we had been led to believe by our former financial advisor would be available to us during retirement turned out not to be the case. I began having trouble sleeping at night, lying awake, worrying about money. One Wednesday night, Virginia gave a testimony about a woman that had been robbed on her way home from work. The woman's comment that she had lost nothing really stood out to me. I tried holding on to this thought whenever I had trouble sleeping or whenever I started worrying about money. I also knew that God was the source of supply, not a job, not a bank account, nor anything material. God knew what we needed before we even asked. When I could not sleep, I would mentally go through my list of everything for which I was grateful. I remembered hymns and quotes I'd read about supply. One hymn 225, really meant a lot to me at that time. O Lord, I would delight in thee and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my ever friend. When all material streams are dried, thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied and glory in thy name. He that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, can I be poor? What can I want beside? O God, I cast my care on thee. I triumph and adore. Henceforth, my great concern shall be to love and praise thee more. That last line, that's what I need to do, to love and praise thee more. And that thought that we had lost nothing were constant reminders for me. About 6 months later, a part-time employment opportunity came along. as well as an unexpected income source that was more than we had anticipated. Gradually, our savings account came back to where it had been previously. I was so grateful for this experience and for the reminder that God is indeed our only source of supply and is there for us during every experience we face. Thank you again for, I love the first hymn. I love the words. I wrote that down so I could read that again. Thank you again.
Thank you.
The Holy Ghost, I think Mrs. Eddy says, is Christian Science. Wonderful lesson, really. And how about that event that took place on Monday? I was standing there looking at it, and it was a religious experience for me, and I'm sure a lot of you, a lot of people all over the world, but hymn 329 came to mind. The heavens declare the glory of him who made all things. Each day repeats the story, each night its tribute bings. The earth's remotest border, like mighty power is known, beauty, grandeur, mighty work is shown. And I just thought, wow, what an awesome God we have. And knowing everything to its minutest detail, what is going to take place. I'm just very grateful to Christian Science and to a God who can give us what we saw on Monday.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say? I've got a testimony that I pulled today from the April journal that I will share if nobody else has anything to share. It's by Martha Sarvis. Since childhood, I'd had trouble with hearing. My mom and dad prayed with me and my hearing would improve for a while, but then the problem would reoccur. In grade school, my parents took me to an ear specialist who prescribed antibiotics, but there was no permanent solution. During college, there was about a month when I could hardly hear out of either ear. I contacted a Christian Science practitioner for metaphysical treatment and my hearing returned. But there seemed to be a yearly reoccurrence of the problem. Each time I would pray by myself or with the support of a practitioner so that I could hear again. About 5 years ago, I noticed that my hearing was diminishing. And then 3 years ago, I couldn't hear at all out of my right ear. It was scary to feel shut off from those around me. I felt isolated in group conversations because I couldn't make out what the others were saying. In my study and prayers over the years, one idea kept reoccurring. It's from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The inner communication is always from God to his idea man, page 284. But I didn't understand how this would help me hear those around me because I was thinking of this spiritual communication as just between God and me. At the same time, I was studying Christ Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew, and this study was giving me a fuller understanding of what it means to be Christ-like. To me, it means expressing Christly qualities such as meekness, loving kindness. Beatitudes became more real to me as practical guides in my daily interactions. I started more consistently recognizing the Christ-like qualities in those around me as well. Jesus' teachings throughout the Sermon on the Mount show us how to love all mankind as God's children, as the perfect expression of infinite love. Then I read an article titled Perception by Paul Stark Seeley in the Journal of June 1926. This statement opened my thought to what needed healing. True perception can no more be impaired than God's activity can be interrupted, or the perpetual omniaction of mind can be abrogated or lessened. If one idea could lose its perceptive faculties or have them impaired, such result would evidence a power greater than the all-seeing mind. God would no longer be all-seeing. Loss of perception would isolate the idea from those relationships and associations which characterize the divinely coordinated unity of mind's ideas and the perpetual indivisibility of God and his universe. This made me realize that the belief of hearing loss was really a belief that I could be separated from God. From my study of Christian Science, I knew that couldn't be true. Christian Science teaches that as spiritual ideas of God, we are separable from him. We are inseparable from him. Recognizing any given limitation of mortal existence as a lie enables us to replace it with the truth of our spiritual identity. The belief of hearing loss was one big lie that I could lose all relationships. Uncovering this lie felt like a breakthrough because since childhood I had felt isolated from others. I prayed, asking God what I needed to know, and the thought came. My only relationship is with God and is defined by the Christ. Science and Health says Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to men, speaking to the human consciousness. With this thought came the clear realization that the Christ truth speaks to every one of God's ideas. I couldn't be separated from anyone as long as I recognized each individual's godlike identity. I love that sentence. I was perceiving more of everyone's unity with God and therefore with each other. The moment this realization came, I could hear out of my right ear, and I have been able to hear normally ever since. This healing has been complete for over a year. The feeling of isolation dissipated. Now, if I feel isolated or hear reports of others struggling with isolation, I pray to understand more clearly everyone's relationship to Father, Mother, Love, and I continue to see more of what it means to be united with God and with one another in Christ. I also continue to read the Sermon on the Mount weekly. I have felt such a transformation of thought and action that it is difficult to summarize. The simplest way to explain it is that I feel the presence and the power of Christ more consistently, and I love more unselfishly. But I also know there is so much more to learn. I've seen just the tip of the iceberg. I now know we are all united in divine love. No one is left out. Learning more of our own and everyone's Christ-like nature frees us and our neighbors from isolation. Again, this was Martha Sarvis from Bourne, Texas.
Jean, thank you for your readings tonight. So much to think about. I'm going to have to really continue to ponder that lesson. That was huge. And lovely. Thank you. And thank you also
thank you.
For the hymns. Grateful for the testimonies this evening. And Scott, I'm right there with you about Monday. It was just so enormous. Jean, you mentioned presence, and you read about presence in the testimony you just gave. And I was listening to a Radio Sentinel program that Nate Talbot was largely speaking on, and he talked about the difference between God being present and God's presence. And he said that when we think about God being present, it could open the door to something else being present as well, that that God might be there, but there might be something else. But talking about God's presence gives one the sense of what is genuinely true, and that is just this allness. Mrs. Eddy speaks so often about the all in all, you know, in Isaiah, there is none else, this infinite, equipollent enormity, completeness that is God. And gosh, Monday, I don't know, I had been listening to some Lawrence Doyle articles because I kind of wanted to just get a metaphysical take on what we could be expecting on Monday. And I just love the way that, you know, he just has this enormous sense of God's infinite control and spoke so often about principle and order, divine principle and order. And that sense of obedience, you know, of just the entire universe. And having even heard that, I wasn't expecting what was witnessed on Monday. It was just so amazing to see that and to feel everyone who was seeing that. You know, you've seen pictures now of everyone enjoying that, and everyone's looking up. I love that. I love that. Everyone's looking up. What a beautiful thing to be sharing that, you know, joyous looking up and seeing that marvel. At any rate, I was looking through the hymnal after that event, and hymn 520 just spoke to my heart, the second verse, and I just thought I would share it tonight. By law, God enforces the stars in their courses, and sun in its orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the depths of the ocean proclaim God divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration, a song let us raise. Let all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest, Hosanna and praise. And I just love that incredible event that just has us all really on our knees.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for sharing this evening. I appreciate it. And just such a wonderful, uplifting thoughts. Thank you. Let's close our service by singing hymn number 221. I'm going to read the second verse. The Christ, eternal manhood, as God's own Son beloved, a tender ever presence within each heart is proved. O God, our Father, Mother, thy name we see expressed by man who in thy science is perfect, holy, blessed. Hymn number 221.
The Christ eternal manhood.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.